is blessing our church. The Lord is blessing you, and He wants to bless you. Turn, if you will, this morning to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Very familiar passage of scripture. I preached on this many times. Every time I preach on it, I just love it, because this gives us courage. This tells us who we are. This tells us where we're going and what we're to do. Joshua chapter 14, starting with verse 6. Look what the Bible says. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot was trodden shall be for your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive." And he said, "These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For as you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the city were great and fortified, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, just as the Lord said." Let's pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard through the music and the word of God through these songs. And Lord, how you've lifted our hearts already. Lord, we want to lift you up this morning that you may draw people to you. And God, in this word of scripture, show us just at the point of our need what we need to hear. Because everyone here this morning has different needs, or at different places in their life, or in their Christian walk. And today, Lord, we want people to make the right decisions so that their lives may grow. And we give you the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Now we go back. In Numbers 14 and 25, you see the Bible says that Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the land that they were going to take. Well, they went. They came back. You know, probably heard the story. They came back with pomegranates and grapes and all kinds of good things. And they said, "You know, the Lord said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And it truly is a land that just like God said." But they said, "There's giants in the land. And we are nothing but like grasshoppers." Now Joshua and Caleb said, "No, we can go up just like the Lord said and take the land. It's for our taking. But as the word of God says, those 10 spies that came back with a negative report, their hearts melted the other people's hearts by the negative that they said. Now let me tell you something. I don't like negativism. I just don't like people that are negative all the time. Preacher, we can't do this. Preacher, we can't do that. Why can't we? Unbelief stops the power of God. Don't be negative in your life, folks. If you are a Christian, you've got something to shout about. And old Caleb is reminding Joshua, they've wandered in the wilderness for 45 years, and he's 45 years older now. And he said, listen, I'm just as strong as the day that I left here. My strength is, God has done something in my life. Now, I want the mountain. Mount Hebron was a beautiful mountain. It was a place where things were the best of the land, so to speak. And God said, I want to give that to you, Caleb. It's yours. And he said, Joshua, you remember what God said? When we came back with that report, we came back with a good report, and God said, I'm going to give you that land. You know what that word means, Hebron? It means a fellowship. It means fullness. It stands for fruitfulness in our life. And Caleb is saying, Joshua, I want the mountain of fellowship with God. I want the mountain of fullness with God. I want the mountain of fruitfulness in my life. He didn't want to settle for anything less. I want that mountain. And I pray that everyone here this morning, we're going to have mountains in our life, mountains of fullness, mountains of fruitfulness. Oh, and listen, mountains of fellowship with God. And I hope you can say, that's what I want, preacher. I want the fullness of God upon my life. I don't want to settle for anything less. I want that fullness. All the blessings that God has to give me. God, give me that mountain this morning. I want the very best that God has to offer me in this life and in the life to come. You see, I believe God wants the very best for His people, for His children. God said to Caleb, that very soil upon which your feet shall trod, listen, Caleb, I'm going to give it to you. And oh, I pray as a church, we'll rise up as a mighty army of God and say, God, give us this mountain that we might have the fellowship unlike any other fellowship in this town. That we might have the fullness of God flowing upon our life more than any other place in this town. You know, if you build a good fire, it draws things to it, don't it? And I believe fires of revival need to fall upon our church and upon our lives, just like Caleb, and say, Lord, let us have the fruitfulness in our life that it will draw people to you. Don't settle for less. Here we are. I believe every Sunday is a crossroad that we come to. I believe every Sunday we have to make decisions as we live our lives for Christ. We can either claim the promises of God and stand upon those promises of God in our possession of our inheritance, or we can look at the other 10 and see all the giants instead of the fullness of God, all the grasshoppers as we are. We need to start believing God, folks. Believing God. You know, if we're to claim the mountain, we got to start doing some things and come out of our valleys that we've been in. And you know, some people are in the valleys all the time, seems like. The valley of being negative, the valley of despair. You know, we can smile, can't we, even though we're in the valley. I believe we can with God. Man, I just love some people in their testimony. No matter what they go through, they still continue to lift God up. You see? And some of us don't. We get down and we, where is God, preacher? He's still here. What are you believing him for today in your life? You see, defeat, the old devil wants you to be defeated in your life. He wants you to live a mediocre Christian life and just say, I guess I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. You need to be on top of the circumstances. You see, don't let the devil press you down, folks. Some of us are living with a marital problem. Some of us are living with financial problems. There's all kinds of problems out there. There's disappointments and failures in life. But they're not failures if we walk through those things and come out with God, you see. And we say, God, no matter what I'm going through, I want the fullness that you have for me. You know, the pressures of life, that's part of life. I stay under pressure all the time. You just don't know how much pressure that I stay under. The doctor asked me one time, he says, I forget what he asked me, it's been so long ago. He said, do you have any stress in your life? I said, over 1,000 of them. You know, but stress is just stress. You can overcome it. You can come through it. You don't have to give up. You know, Caleb certainly didn't give up. He's 85 years old and he says, Lord, give me that mountain. Oh, he had confidence, didn't he? Caleb said, I'm not going to take any less than what God has for me, and that's the mountain. Let me tell you something. His confidence was not in the people around him, was it? His confidence wasn't in military might. No, that wasn't. It wasn't in the president that they had at that time. His confidence was in what? The promises of God. And if you read this passage carefully, you'll certainly find out that those phrases about God are over and over and over again. And the Lord said, and Caleb said, and Joshua said. Do you remember the promises of God? Somebody said there's over 6,000 promises in his Bible. I never counted all of them. I believe every word on the in the scripture is a promise of God to me. And if we'll just read it and let it sink in and believe this book, this is not just an ordinary book. This is the living Word of God. And I know it's that because it comes alive to me. And it speaks to me from these pages. Let me ask you something. Do you know these words? Have you claimed the Bible as the Word of God? You know, it's something to say, I believe it, but if you don't know it, you really don't know what you believe. Is your confidence in God this morning, or is it in what you hear on television? You see, television's always negative. Every station you look at is always negative. They'll tell you we're fixing to go in a recession. They'll tell you we're in a depression. Man, who's in charge? God is in charge. And if your confidence is in God, not man, you have the ability to overcome. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to go through some troubled times. That's part of life. But man, we can go through those through with God. Let me tell you something. How do you grow your faith? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do we need more faith? No, I don't think so. What we need is more Word of God. More words of God, folks. We need a Bible study. We need that Bible study to come alive into our life. I am so tickled about our services. Tonight we'll have a good crowd here. I just imagine tonight we'll have a bigger crowd than any church in our county. I really believe that. Some of them just quit having churches on Sunday night. Wednesday night, Brother Perry's been speaking. I counted them the other night. We had almost 100 people here. A preacher friend of mine said, "What?" I said, "We almost had 100 people on Wednesday night. And if you count the youth and the children, we went over that." And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "We're studying the Word together." Now, if you hadn't heard Brother Perry preach or teach, you need to come. I said, "He's good." Matter of fact, I asked him the other day. I said, "Brother Perry," I said, "I didn't ask the church about this. And, you know, we can't agree on anything anyhow, so why don't you just do it my way and forget about it?" I just said, "Brother Perry, would you teach Wednesday night for me?" "Oh, yeah, woo!" He said, "Yes." So you got to now, brother. I done heard a yoo-hoo out there. So every Wednesday night, you come. We're going to call it whatever we want to call it. Studying the Word of God together, journeying through the Word. Folks, come. That's what we need as His people. We need to come to hear the Word of God. Now, the reason you're not claiming the promises of God is that most of us just don't know the promises of God. And Caleb had confidence in the promises of God. And he had a peace within his heart. He had a fullness within his heart. He wasn't worried about those old giants up there. He said, "You know, we're going to run into them, but I believe the Lord will whip them just like He's whipped everybody else for us. So go ahead, Joshua, give me the mountain that God has promised me to have." Now, not only did he have a confidence, he had a courage. We need courage to claim the mountain. Now, I think that, you know, I don't know how he felt. I know he felt better than I do. At his age, he was in the 80s, see, and he said, "I'm still just as strong as I was back 40. Well, I'm not. But you know what? I still believe in God. I still believe God fights my battles for me. And he wasn't looking for no easy way out. He was willing to go against those giants and claim that mountain. You know, now that doesn't come easily. Mountains overcome don't come just easily in our life. There has to be a price paid. You don't build a church easily. Let me tell you something. It's hard to grow a church. It's hard to build a church. A church is the body of people, not this building. Anybody can build a building, but not everybody can grow and build a church. It's hard work. It's hard getting into a Christian life. You know, it makes life great when God is blessing, but there's a price to be paid. Alexander the Great was asked, "What is the secret of victory?" And he said, "Never turn back. Never turn back." You know, some mountains of victory are fullness, fruitfulness, and fellowship. in the Christian's life. I want the mountain. I don't want to ever turn back. Say that with me. Lord, give me the mountain. I didn't hear nobody. Say it. Give me the mountain. All right. That's all we have to do. I just wanted you to wake up. Does this city belong to us? Amen, it does. I believe God, with God, we can take this city for Christ. We've got to do it. It's not going to be easy, but we can do it. Who wants to claim the city for Christ? We do. We do. And it's the church that can take it. I want this fellowship to grow. I want the fullness of God to grow in this church. And I want to see it fruitful for God. And the power of God is for the people who will stand up and take it. But you will have to stand up for Jesus Christ. And that's not always easy to do, is it? But take a stand. When you see somebody, ask them about where they go to church. Ask them if they're saved. Ask them if they're going to heaven. And if they don't know, tell them. You see, that's all it takes. Where did Jesus tell his disciples to go? He said, I want you to go into all the world. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, he said. Listen, society was against them. The governments were against them. The devil was against them. The economy was against them. And yet they went into all the world. Our youth director said it wonderful Wednesday, last Sunday night, when he said they turned the world upside down for Christ. And they was the minority. And yet believed God. It takes courage to claim the mountain. Listen, God doesn't want us to always be in the valley of defeat or depression or discouragement. There's a song that says, rise up, O church of God. And that's what we need to do. Rise up from the valleys and defeat and the discouragement and start claiming the word of the Lord. Just say, God, give me the mountain. Now, when you do, I hope this is my water. I'm going to drink it.
Oh, Teddy, what did you put in?
I thought he didn't pause me. Listen, we need to learn that there's a door of opportunity for us right here in this community that God has set before us that we might reach this community. You know what? The doors of opportunity swing on the hinges of opposition. And we're going to have opposition. At Corinth, Paul said, there's a great and effectual door which is open unto me, but there are many adversaries, he said. Now, I think about Caleb. He had three adversaries. He had to overcome the grasshopper complex. Mentality, if you want to call it that. In Joshua 14, 7 through 8, he was 40 years old when he was with Moses. How did he make the heart of the people melt? Numbers 13 tells you that those 10 spies came back and they looked at the land. There was water, there was food, but there was also the giants. And they said, we are nothing but like grasshoppers to them. Now, you know what a grasshopper is? A grasshopper is just a little bitty animal or insect that hops around. They had that complex. They saw themselves as nothing. I used to preach on this several times, and I said they were nothing but when you step on one of them things, old green juice. Now, folks, that's a bad complex to have when they think they're nothing but grasshoppers. And they begin to complain to Moses, "Oh, Moses, why did you bring us here to dwell in this wilderness? We would have been better off down there in Egypt." Those never got to go in. Somebody said it the other night, or over 200 funerals a day in those 40 years of wandering in that wilderness. All of those grasshoppers died. That complex. But Caleb said, "No, we can do it because God is our Lord." You see, there's grapes, there's fruitfulness, and there's God on our side. Caleb had a peace about his circumstances. And God said, "Okay, to those that didn't, you're fine. You go back and wander till every one of you die in that wilderness." And they never claimed a promise. But Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies that lived. Stop looking at how little we are. And start looking at how big God is. You see, folks, stop looking at those little things. And start looking at God's viewpoint. You know, the giant Goliath and David, God's man, they look the same to God. Matter of fact, God said, "David is a whole lot bigger." God's viewpoint makes us all look the same. And when you get God's viewpoint, you're not going to worry about the giants in the land. Reminds me of the lady who took an airplane, first airplane ride. She got out and sat in the seat. She looked out the window and she said, "Oh, it is true. People look like ants from up here." And the woman said beside her said, "Ma'am, that is ants. We haven't even taken off yet." You see, we need to get higher than we've ever been for spiritually for God. That's what we need to do. And folks, to do that, you've got to put your faith and trust in God. You see, I was talking to Miss Jane the other day. Our budget was a little low, and we are low in our budget. And you know, that doesn't worry me. It doesn't bother me a bit. And we looked at things, and I'm just going to be honest with you. We talked about cutting our salaries 5% across the board, and I'm thinking, man, we've got that grasshopper mentality. You see? Isn't that right? If you've got to cut things, we're saying that God is not able to meet those needs. I want to tell you something. When people talk about their tithing and stuff like that, they don't tithe. We don't tithe, do we? Be honest with yourself. Do we really tithe? Somebody said, "Well, I tithe. I give to all certain." Let me tell you something. We stopped our fundraising here for a while. You know why? Because every time we have a fundraiser, people take their tithe and give to the fundraiser. And that's not tithing, folks. Do you understand that? That is not tithing. That's robbing God. What you give to giving to grow is not your tithe. That is above your tithe. You see, that's an offering. A little lady, a friend of mine, I play golf with a guy, He's a small church up a smaller church. There ain't no small churches. You know, somebody, they need pastors too. But let me tell you what, this little lady, she sold her land in Rockwall. It brought $6 million. She came and wrote him a check for $600,000. And she said, this is God's part. He says, what do you want to do with it? And she said, whatever you want to. It's God's money. It belongs to the church. It doesn't belong to me. Now, you think about that. It's easy sometimes to give when we only make $100 or $200 a week or three or whatever we make, you know. But to tithe $600,000 to give it to her, that church is doing well financially. She left the next day. She was moving. But she wanted to do that because that was God's money, and she didn't want to rob God. Now, folks, you know how to figure your tithe? Let me challenge you to do something. You go home, you look at your income tax. You know how much you made there. You better. And then you look back at your church record and you see what you gave God. Now, I'm not talking about after all the gifts and everything taken out. I'm talking about the gross income, not the net. The gross income, what you made last year. I'm going to challenge you to do that. And then you write a check for the 10, you write a check for the difference to make up that 10%. Can you do that? How much do you believe God? We got a grasshopper mentality, or we got a mighty God? And you keep doing that for the rest of your life. Otherwise, you rob God. Now, I wasn't getting on tithing. That just happened to come to my mind. But, folks, we should never have to cut back ministries because our members do not give. We have got to get right with God. We say, preacher, you know we want to be right with God. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. When you can turn loose your pocketbook and give it to God, you're going to be pretty close to getting right. That's the hardest thing for man to overcome, I believe, in being right with God. You just think about what I said. Don't have that grasshopper mentality. He overcame the giants. He overcame the giants. You know what Caleb said? All the rest of them said, we're grasshoppers. He said, no. They're nothing but bread for us. Bread is a substance you live on. Bread is a substance you grow on. You know, some of us in our life are facing some big old giants. I know some giants. Some of us are afraid of failure. Well, if you do all you can for God, you're not a failure. If you're living for Christ, you're not a failure. Some of us face discouragement. Some of us face indecision. There's all kinds of giants out there. Caleb said, give it to me. I'm going to march up that mountain with the word of God and take back what belongs to God. Now, he wasn't worried about the giants. He saw them as bread, and he saw them as bread strengthening his faith. When you start living for God, when you start doing for God, when you start believing for God, your faith will be strengthened because God's not going to let you down. Let me tell you something. I have been there. I have watched him work. I'm ashamed that I have given in to some unbelief in my life. But God is still God. And he's never let me or my wife down in all the years that we've been around. And he won't let you down either. He won't let you down. And then Caleb overcame the grasshoppers, he overcame the giants and the gray hairs. I'm 85 years old, and I'm just as strong as the day Moses sent me out to spy the land. You see, supernaturally preserved by God, he overcame. You're never too old, I don't believe, to work for God. There is no retirement in God's kingdom, folks. You don't retire. You keep on working. And then there's commitment. Why did he have courage and confidence? Because look at what it says. He wholly followed the Lord. It doesn't say he almost followed. He fully followed. Nor did he follow more than some did. I hear that all the time. Well, I do more than so-and-so. That's not what it's all about. It's about your life and God. He wholly followed the Lord. You don't worry about what somebody else does. That's between them and the Lord. They'll pay the price. You see? If you want the blessings of God, you wholly followed the Lord. Give me the mountain and do everything that God asks you to do. Commit your life to him with all the fears and the failures as well as the abilities and potentials you have. Give God wholly your life. D.L. Moody. Moody was a shoe salesman who went on to be an evangelist. And he said he heard a man named Henry Varley say, "The world has yet to see what God can do through one man who is totally committed to him." And Dwight L. Moody said, "I want to be that man." Did you know if one man can shake the world like he did, this church could shake this city for Christ if they were just committed? You see? A church could shake Henderson County for Christ if we would just follow him. Now let me ask you three questions and then I'll close. Do you witness? You don't have to raise your hand, but do you witness about God? If you don't, you can forget about asking God for the mountain. Do you read his word? I've got it on my phone. And I'll turn to the scripture there and I'll listen to it and just think about it and then turn it off. Turn it on, listen to it some, turn it off. I'll go back and listen to Brother Bob Pittman. Listen to it, turn it off. Do you read his word? Then let me ask you something. Do you tithe? Do you tithe? If you haven't or won't, you're not wholly following the Lord. You're not obeying his word. If you want to claim the mountain, get your life in line with what the word of God says. Now, I know this probably hadn't been a pretty sermon to some of you, but I'm not interested in pretty sermons. I want to know what the word of God says. And folks, you heard it this morning. Whether you like it or not, you've got to deal with it. Now, if you need to make a decision for Christ this morning, would you come? That's where you need to start, on your knees before God. We're not in a hurry to eat. We don't really need to eat at all, do we? At least I don't. But we need God, and we need to spend some time on our knees with Him. As a church, as an individual, you make the decision that you felt God calling you to this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today. And God, I pray that right now you'll move in our hearts and we'll make the decisions for you that we need to make. In Jesus' name, amen.